Welcome to Personalize Your Faith with your Personalize Your Faith coach, LaTanya Price. Because of working with LaTanya, Christian women are more determined and empowered to personalize their faith by making positive, effective life changes. With increased self-awareness, trusted knowledge, discovering their spiritual DNA, and a distinctive plan of action, they achieve boldness and confidence to unleash their supernatural abilities for unlimited possibilities.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another Personalize Your Faith show. I am LaTanya Price, just coming to you once again on a great and awesome day. Today, we're just going to be continuing with the special that we're having for this particular month. Like I stated in the first one that I did for this month, it's all about parents to angels. And so I wanted to ensure that this particular month, although, both I kind of consider May and June a special time, but, for parents, Mother's Day, Father's Day. And so I wanted just to do that for this particular month because I don't want to leave out the fathers. And so the last show I did was for the moms. This show is for the dads, okay? So to let you all know, of course, as a result of working with me, Christian women are more determined and empowered to personalize their faith by fearlessly writing and self-publishing their story with increased technical knowledge, discovering their inner creativity, and developing a powerful plan of action. They experience excitement and confidence to unleash their supernatural abilities for unlimited possibilities as a published author. And so, that is something I've just been really, really focusing on a lot, just kind of helping people to get those stories birthed. And so, there are so many things that I try to incorporate when it comes to the Personalize Your Faith show, if you will. I try to incorporate so many different things, but I want to ensure that in these upcoming season and shows that I touch on some things that are of just importance, but also that are powerful, that are encouraging. And, I want people to recognize what their capabilities are, and that's one of the key things as a coach or whatever, a consultant or however you want to put it, that's one of the things I want people just to really recognize, just how much ability and power you possess, honestly, just to do that which God has assigned to you. And so that's one of the things I want to ensure to always try and do. And so today, as I stated, today will be the special for the fathers. So basically, my last show, as I say, was for the mothers, still a mother. So today we're going to talk about still a father. This particular time and this particular season, it's we recognize our fathers. We recognize our fathers. I'm a daddy's girl. I stated that in the last one. I'm going to reiterate that in this one because today is special. I'm a daddy's girl. I'm just a daddy's girl. I feel there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you. And I love my dad. He is still here to live, and I thank God for that. I know as time progresses and gets closer, because he's getting older and older, he won't always be here, and I know that. And so I definitely know to cherish. Both my parents are actually here, so I cherish them both to still be here and to live, and they moving and they mobile. They still get around. They do. So I thank God for that. So today, like I stated, I want to talk to the dads. I want to encourage the fathers. And I'm going to encourage based on some things I've heard my husband say throughout the time period of our loss of our first daughter. Because sometimes when this kind of thing happens, when loss of pregnancy or a child suddenly happens. Many a times it's like, oh, you know, you comfort the mother, you comfort the woman, just because, of course, it's a little bit more sensitive. I mean, that's the truth. You know, women, we have a certain attachment to a child. We got to feel the child move or whatever inside of us. You know, they was depending upon us for nourishment and everything, you know. So it's definitely a special time. And for the man, they never get to experience that, you know. So when a loss like that kind of happens, it's almost like they're just so pushed to the back. Behind the curtains, almost, you know, they're kind of forgotten a little bit. And so I don't want to forget you all, though, because I have a husband. Me and my husband, we're going on 9 years of marriage. And, you know, it's to witness that and to know, and I know how men, you know, men are definitely taught to be the strong one, to be, you know, strong, and yeah, you can cry a little bit, but man up, if you will. Some men are actually taught not to cry, which I don't believe in that. I'm just being honest. I don't believe in that. I think men should be taught to cry, because y'all got to release that. Y'all got to release some anger. Y'all got to release some things. And sometimes tears is the only way you're going to be able to release that. I've witnessed my dad cry. There was when that first did happen, he lost his father. And it was my first time seeing my dad cry as a young child. And it broke me down. It made me realize men cry. And so to witness my husband go through the loss of Charlotte Evelina, it taught me some stuff. It really did. It taught me more about my husband. It taught me so much more about my husband. And I've always witnessed my husband being sensitive to God. My husband, as some might know or might not know, he's a very wonderful praise and worship leader. That's how I first met him. He's a worshiper. My husband is a worshiper. Let me tell you all, he is a worshiper. He goes throughout the house singing all the time, and that's just him. He has a thunderous tenor voice. I know our neighbors are like, who is that singing? But I digress. but to witness my husband to go through that, because my husband has always he's always been able to cry in front of me or anything like that. So it's never been one of those things. But there were moments where he couldn't, and that stood out for me. There was moments that he didn't want to cry in front of me. But we've cried together. We have. We've cried together. And so I don't want to leave the dads out, because to make a child, guess what? It takes a dad. It takes a dad. It takes two. And so I don't want to leave the dads out. So today, we're going to talk to dads. I want to encourage you, dads. I want to encourage you, fathers. You're still a father. You are still very much a father. You're a real man. You are awesome. You are an awesome father. And even if you have other children, like the, you know, like I was saying to the mother, you have some living children here that you were able to see, feel, touch, hug, kiss, and everything else. But you might have that one or a few, couple, something like that, that didn't get the chance. You're still a father. You're still a wonderful father. You're still a great man. You're still powerful. You're still you're still a very strong man. You still are. So it's okay to feel isolated and weak at times. And like I said, I'm saying these things from my husband. So this is kind of, you know, from my husband's point of view a little bit. It's okay to feel isolated and weak. It's okay. As I was stating before, you all don't get that opportunity, you know, to feel the movements and the kicks and everything else. That was one of the things I know with my husband, you know, because one of the things my husband was trying to do was trying to make it seem like it was okay for him to be pushed to the back burner. And it's not. It is so not. Because, you know, and I remember my husband kind of saying some stuff like this, you know, well, you got to carry Charlotte for 9 months or whatever, however long. So you have, you know, your level of hurt is sort of like validated, or it's sort of like it makes sense, you know, because I had that attachment with her. But I definitely reassured him that, hey, although you didn't carry the child, you still have a connection. That was your baby. You know, my husband held our child. Like I said, Charlotte, she was stillborn at 38 and a half weeks, so she was full term, you know. I want to say she was every bit of probably 5 pounds once born, but I want to say she's probably 6 or 7 pounds, of course, during the ultrasound and things when she was living. She's going to be a big little baby. She's going to be good and healthy. You know, when we discovered she had already passed and she was still inside. And so the doctors definitely told me, you know, it kind of the weight and everything kind of went down. But he got to hold her. You know, she still had the 10 fingers, the 10 toes, everything that we prayed for a healthy baby. And, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have an attachment. It's okay to feel a little isolated and a little weak, because it's like you all don't get that chance to have that special bond during those several weeks. But yet, you know, if you are there at the appointments to hear the ultrasound and the heartbeat, to see the ultrasounds, to see the movements, maybe you was with the mother or with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever during those visits, and seeing 3D ultrasounds, which are really cool to see sometimes, because you get to see that kind of movement, that still movement of the 3D image of the child. And if you were there for all of that, hey, there is still an attachment there. There's still an attachment there. You were by her side. You might not have been able to feel the child moving or be able to feel that wand moving across your belly, that with that cold gel, you know, across your belly or whatever. You might not have experienced that for yourself, but hey, you got to probably feel or see the baby move, kick. I know my husband was able to feel, you know, Charlotte move, kick. He, you know, had held his hand on my stomach, you know, to feel the baby move and kick. She knew who daddy was. That's for sure. She knew who daddy was. Charlotte would move for certain people, and daddy was one of them. She heard his voice. She was like, oh, daddy's home. And she gets it going. So that you have that special bond. You really, really do. And that's something to not to diminish, not to make it seem less than. It is so not meant to be made to be seen less than. Oh, no, it is not. So it's okay to feel a little isolated, because unfortunately it can happen, and it's okay to feel a little weak. But yet you can still miss your baby. You can still miss your child. As I stated, this is a little special. Like I said, this is not to knock the ones that, you know, have somehow lost children that are a little bit older or anything like that. None of this is meant to knock any of that, because I know at any age, a loss of a child is painful. I get that. But I definitely want to encourage those that might have lost the children that just did not get the opportunity to be by your side. And so it's okay. It's okay to feel a little weak, to feel a little less than, to feel a little isolated, but just know that, hey, you don't have to stay there, because you're still a man, you're still the dad, you're still a father, you're still the husband, you're still the man, okay? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. And it's okay to talk to your angel. That's something that, you know, I encouraged the moms on last time to talk to them. And it's okay for you to talk to your angel. It's okay. My husband talks to Charlotte a lot. he visits the gravesite a lot, and he talks to her, and he probably does pretty much the same thing I do, kind of encourage her, letting, you know, her know that Daddy loves her and how proud of her he is, you know. And so when you pray to God, you know, as you're praying, sometimes don't forget to mention the angel. Don't forget to mention your angel. It's okay, you know. And, you know, I know men and the spiritual side, I know sometimes that can be a tussle. Unfortunately, yes, it is a fact that many a time the population of believers, when it comes, especially when it comes to the more active believer, if you will, it is more women than men. Men believe, it's not to say that, you know, we don't have a lot of men that are Christians that believe in God and everything, but they're just not as active. You know, they don't necessarily may go to church or get involved in church as much. They kind of do some other things sometimes. You know, some men, they work, or some men, you know, they have other activities that they may be involved in. And sometimes that can, especially with the work, when I say that, because like my husband, he's a chef. So besides being, you know, a licensed minister, associate minister of our church, he's a chef, you know, and sometimes that chef life, as some may know, it calls for working late nights. It my husband has traveled to other, because he works for a Marriott chain, the Marriott chain of hotels. And so they've sent my husband to other hotels to help set up their kitchen or set up a new restaurant and all that good stuff. And so my husband is very, very, he works hard. He's a hardworking man. And so, you know, sometimes that can cause him, unfortunately, to be pulled away from church and ministry. But my husband is a prayer. You know, he's going to pray. He's going to ask, you know, talk to God. But, you know, when you take the time to talk to God, don't forget to talk to your angel. It's okay. And that's one of the things that you have a privilege to do. You have an obligation to do, actually, because that's one of the things you want to ensure that you acknowledge. You acknowledge that you have that angel that's there to listen for that daddy's voice, if you will. I know Charlotte anticipates hearing his voice. I know that for a fact, just because of how she was in the womb, if you will. She got so excited to hear his voice. And I know that has not changed. I get excited even now to hear my own daddy's voice. Let me just keep it real. When my father calls me on my phone, I'm excited to hear his voice. Because I know, hey, you're good. It's good to hear from you and everything else. So that's something that I want to ensure that dads, it's okay. It's okay to talk to your angel. Talk to them. It's okay. And then, you know, I didn't mention this with the moms, but for mothers and fathers, this is kind of like that final point, if you will. It's okay to question your faith. One of the things that me and my husband experienced when it came to this season, our faith was shaken. And I'm not going to reveal the whole story. You have to get the book to understand the story. But we prayed. We fasted for Charlotte. We pray and fast for many other things, too. But when that time came and that season was going on, our faith was shaken. My husband said something that was very profound. To me, and to when he said it to other people, it's profound. It was like the very ground we was walking on disappeared. It tested our faith. Events like this, losing a child, test your faith. And I think this is one of those things, especially for men. It can be tough because men has that instantaneous charge, if you will. They already have such a heavy mantle because men are meant to be the strong ones. They're meant to be the ones that lead the household. they're meant to be the ones to be the first out for battle, if you will. Not to be, you know, I'm not discrediting women. Women, yes, we're fighters. We are. We're warriors too. But literally, when it comes to the whole dynamic of warring, men are conditioned to be the first out there in the front. And our faith was shaken. My husband's faith was shaken. And my husband, you know, my husband was raised in the church. I was not. I got saved when I was 14 and 15, and then, you know, developed from that time. But my husband was raised in the church, and his own faith was shaken. At that age of 30s, mid-30s, his faith was shaken. So it's okay to get real with God. Because me and my husband has told me some stuff he's got real with God with. I told him some stuff I got real with God with. It's okay to get real with God. It really is. It's okay to get real with God. It's okay to ask some questions. Will God answer them all? He might not. I'm just giving you a heads up. He might not be able to answer all of them. But it's okay to get real. Because when your faith, excuse me, when your faith is shaken like that, when your faith is shaken to the very core like that, you have no other choice but to question. I honestly feel like God anticipates you to question. He anticipates the questions. He anticipates you to be like, God, what in the world is going on? He anticipates it. As much as God is in control, as much as God does what he does, he anticipates certain prayers, as we know, because it actually says in his word how he knows what we're going to pray for and say before we even say it. So surely, after the loss of a child, he already knows. Here come Iredale. That's my husband's name. Here come Iredale. I know he's going to have some questions. So it's okay to get real with God. It's okay to get real with yourself. It's okay. My husband had to really question. It's not to say he doesn't believe in God, because that's the key thing. It never made us not believe in God. We respected God. I never discredited God. I never felt like he wasn't God. And that time, and I know that's going to sound a little strange to some people, because some people, they're like, I could not have thought he was God during that time. I understand that. I do. I didn't want to talk to him. I will admit that. And my husband didn't either. We didn't want to really say too much to him, because we were upset with his will. We wasn't upset with him. We were just upset with the will, because the will is what we thought it was something different. We thought it was something that was supposed to be a totally different outcome. But that happens in life all the time. All the time. It happens in life all the time. When we think something is supposed to be ending a certain way and then it doesn't, it's like, seriously, I thought it was supposed to be this way, God. Because we think it's positive, right? A healthy newborn is positive. Why would that not be acceptable? You know, why would something like that not be an acceptable end? It makes no logical sense, you know, and that's how, unfortunately, our minds work. It makes no logical sense. You know, and some men are very logical, very calculated. My husband, he's not quite calculated when it comes to certain. Now, for chef, when, you know, being a chef, yes, he's very calculated. But, you know, my husband, you know, he likes the manifestations and those things to see how God works. He likes to see those visible things, how God works. Not to say he's attached to them, but he loves to see those visible manifestations. And we all do. Don't get it twisted. We all do. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a huge thing, but just a visible manifestation is something that, something tangible or something like that is wonderful to see that, to kind of see the work, you know, seeing God working. And we know he's always working, but being able to kind of see something come to visibility, it's great. It's a great feeling. And that was the thing with my husband, you know, and that's how my husband is. And we're all like that to a certain extent, you know, men, and we all know men are kind of visual, if you will. You know, we understand that. So to kind of have the visible, but not have the visible was tough. It was hard because she was there body wise. So it was almost like having a visible without the visible. It was like yet believing in the visible and still having to yet believe in the invisible and the visible. It was tough. It was hard. It wasn't easy. But it's okay, as I stated, to question your faith. Do it, in fact. Do it. If you haven't yet, talk to God. I don't know why that just came to me. Talk to God. If you haven't done it yet, if you haven't gotten real with God about some things, get real with him. There are some losses that you might have experienced. And like I stated, for some couples, they experience more than one. Get real with God. Get real with yourself. And just listen for what God says, because that's what carried us through, is listening to what God says. And sometimes God will use the mom. He will use her as the mouthpiece. And sometimes he'll use whoever else is appointed in your life as a mouthpiece to encourage you, to help you still walk on that ground that's disappeared. Because me and my husband had to hold each other up. And we still do, actually. And honestly, the ground is still there. But let me say this. We've learned how to walk when that ground is gone. We've learned how to walk when there's no ground there. And that is a powerful, powerful lesson to learn. So I will conclude with that. And hopefully you found encouragement and empowerment in that. And of course, as always, visit my website, www.latanyaprice.com. And of course, connect with me on social media. And of course, as I stated, the To Mother and Angel, Overcoming Stillbirth, is still available for 99 cents, Kindle version. Get it, download it, read it. It's a wonderful and powerful read, and I promise you it will bless you. Tell others. There's some reviews out there. Tell others about it. Maybe if it's not you experiencing this, have somebody else read it. No matter what the loss is, have somebody else read it. If you haven't read it or if you want to read it, pass it along. Kindle, I know they have that whole little share thing. Let the person borrow it on your Kindle, okay? Let's close with a word of prayer. God, we come to you once again just telling you thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for our angels. Thank you so much. Thank you for the men that are out there that you've strengthened, that you have appointed to be great and powerful leaders of households and over the mothers. God, I ask that you will just allow them to be still the great fathers that they are. Remind them that they're still a great man and a great father. God, will continue to give you all praise, honor, and glory. You are so wonderful, God. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next time, have a great and fabulous week. Bye.